At the time, the population which had been devastated by the plague was bouncing back. Price of commodities was also increasing. Moreover, as gold and silver from the New World poured into Europe, prices soared uncontrollably. The price revolution of the 16th century began. Treasure from the New World created a large gap between the rich and the poor.
And this is at a time when that is much more than a week's earnings in the late. It's more like 2 weeks' earnings. So it is a lot of time to earn the smallest coin. And therefore ordinary people do not have gold coins. It is something for the rich to have.
Prices quadrupled and sextupled. First, landowners who received a consistent amount of rent went bankrupt. Farmers who didn't have money to rent land became wage laborers. On the other hand, the royal families and noblemen enjoyed an unprecedented extravagance. Gold instantly spread throughout European countries, and in its wake, only collapsed industries and financial crisis remained. Such was the curse of gold. The price revolution continued on for over 100 years without any resolution. It was the longest inflation in history. When commerce expanded and capitalism developed, a barter economy emerged. A system of an exchange of promissory notes for foreign currency began. 48 types of gold coins used in Europe in the 16th century were all exchangeable. Thus, financial innovation was propelled by the power of gold. In the early 19th century, gold faced a new era. Money was dependent upon the value of gold. A system of gold and money exchange emerged. Since then, history repeatedly introduced and discarded the gold standard. In 1819, England pegged the value of pounds to gold and circulated paper money that could be exchanged for gold at any time. By 1870, most countries had adopted the gold standard, and the pound, which could be exchanged for gold, became the key currency around the world.
Gifted and Safi, Ramadan Mubarak, Goli Records.
Ramadan Mubarak, لكل مسلم, شهر لذيذ فيها, ينزل القرآن. Happy Ramadan to all Muslims, all the Quran defenders in this holy month.
Insights into the Holy Quran, a special program for the holy month of Ramadan.
Welcome you, O holy man of blessings. Oh, yeah. You are seeking nearness to my Creator. For you, my soul and heart has been purified.
Oh,
the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. This is a special program for the holy month of Ramadan. In today's program, Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi explains some verses related to this blessed month. Please stay with us.
O month of mercy, you bring so much good. We pray that it never ends. But we know you gotta go as the seasons come and go, 'cause your time is set by Allah. Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, you're the month of the noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. We're going to be with you in this holy month of Ramadan, talking about the different verses of the Holy Quran regarding the benefits of fasting, the most important of them, piety or taqwa. We'll be with you again after you have listened to some verses of the Holy Quran regarding fasting.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Ya ayyuhallazina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba alalladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun.
O you who have believed, decreed upon you is fasting as it was decreed upon those before you, that you may become righteous.
As you listened in this verse, the Holy Quran states that the ultimate goal of fasting must be to reach self-abstinence. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may reach self-restraint or taqwa. Now, since taqwa is one of the spiritual benefits of fasting, and is considered as one of the important aspects of true servitude, we tried to discuss a little bit over the concept of taqwa, its meaning, by having a look at the different meanings mentioned by the scholars and the lexicographers. From what we mentioned and we discussed in the previous program, we could infer that taqwa is self-restraint and self-guarding oneself from what is against the orders of the Lord. And this meaning of taqwa actually covers all the meanings that are mentioned by some of the scholars and lexicographers. Now, just as there was three different stages for fasting itself, there are different stages for taqwa as well. Moralists consider three stages for taqwa. The first level is to self-guard yourself against the eternal chastisement. You safeguard yourself against abiding in hell due to correcting your beliefs, your actions. When a human being tries to rectify his beliefs, to avoid atheism, to improve his belief in monotheism, in prophethood, and the day of judgment, he will save himself from chastisement and fire. He tries to perform obligatory prayers and duties. He tries to leave the forbidden acts. He tries to adopt a right path in imamah. And they are all in order to save himself from hellfire.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون.
The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. So whoever cites the new moon of the month, let him fast it. And whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship, and wants for you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that to which He has guided you, and perhaps you will be grateful.
The next level is to avoid committing sins verbally and practically. Such a meaning of taqwa is best known to the people of religion. And the third level is to safeguard the heart from what keeps it busy away from Allah. At this level, you safeguard your heart from the forbidden, blameworthy, and permissible acts, maybe. And this is the excellent stage of taqwa. If taqwa and piety is to be assessed, it can be appreciated through the states of the pious and its fruits. And if it is to be evaluated separately, several verses and narrations are invoked in order to understand its importance. The Lord of Universe has said in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Surely the most honorable of you with Allah is the one among you most careful or the most pious. Surely Allah is knowing, aware. If there were no verses other than this in the Quran in honor of taqwa, it would suffice us all, for God has laid down taqwa as the highest stage oneself can attain. Elsewhere, Allah says, and make provisions, for surely the provision is the guarding of oneself. Or in another, Allah says, and whoever is careful of his duty to Allah, He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make for him an outlet and will give him sustenance from where he thinks not. And there are some other verses which will be mentioned inshallah in the later programs. But even from these verses, we can also understand the importance of it. Imam Ali alayhi salam is reported to have said that people have not been recommended to anything greater than taqwa, because it is our advice, the Ahlul Bayt. So, dear listeners, we can realize the worth and significance of everything from its achievement and assess its value with the quality and quantity of its fruit. Beyond doubt, everything which is of more fruits will be naturally of more value, and everything with least fruits will be of least value. And for fasting during holy month of Ramadan, there are many and abundant results, quantitatively and qualitatively, but the one which is the most important in terms of quality and quantity is the concept of taqwa or piety. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to us. If you have any question or comment, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at farstoday.com. May Allah accept your deeds in this holy month of Ramadan, and please include all Muslims in your prayers. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Forgive us and guide us to paradise. Ramadan is here. Allah's mercy is near. Time to give, time to share, time to show we care.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Proper Nutrition with Brother Sayyid Vahid Alavi in the program The Month of Allah.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, this is Sayyid Vahid and welcome to The Month of Allah. In the previous program, we talked about the question and tried to answer the question, how to eat. And we talked about a couple of food etiquettes, and I will continue with the same topic in this program. As we mentioned, especially during the month of Ramadan, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you want to start your iftar, when you want to break your fast, you should do it with light food items like soup or salad. And you should sit a lot around the table with your family members, with friends, and make it as long as possible. Why? Because the benefits that exist by sitting side by side with family members, friends, and so on and so forth is a lot. I mean, you can share a lot of experience, you can have a lot of fun by just eating together. And we had eat the food while still warm. The food should be warm, and it should not be confused with hot food. There's a difference between warm food and hot food. So the warm should still be the food should still be warm and not hot. And try to avoid making the food cold. Avoid eating hot food, and avoid blowing your air from your mouth on the food that is disliked by the Prophet and the Imams. The reason may be that some viruses or carbon dioxide goes into that food, which should and the food which you consume goes back into your body again, and that would not be good for your body. Avoid to perfectly cleanse all the meat on a bone. Avoid eating food while in ritual uncleanliness. And as we mentioned previously in previous programs, ritual uncleanliness here means the state you are in after a sexual activity. It is recommended to pick up small morsels and chew them thoroughly before you eat them. Abstain from eating while you have still some appetite left. As we mentioned in previous programs, there is a lot of benefit for your body if you still have some appetite left when you leave the table. Avoid eating wild food. When you're not hungry, don't eat. It's a very simple prescription. Starting and finishing the meal with salt. Eating from the nearest plates or food items near you, or if you are sitting around the table, the nearest plates or food items that are near you. Do not look at others while eating. Don't forget your supplication, your dua after the meal. And if it's during the holy month of Ramadan, especially before the meal. What do we say before the meal? What we say is, Allahumma laka sumtu wa ala rizqika aftartu wa alayka tawakkaltu. O Allah, for you I have fasted, and on your sustenance I have broken my fast, and upon you I put my trust. That is a beautiful dua that should be said before breaking the fast. Till next time, join us in more programs of the month of Allah, and we will talk more about food etiquettes, inshallah ta'ala, and give you some more tips about what to eat and your nutrition during Ramadan. Till next time, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن الله 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 الله
إن تيزيك إنسان را مطمئن میکند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
I invite you to listen to a short part of Chapter 9 of the book Sirr-Salat, The Secret of Prayer by Imam Khomeini. One of the factors which cause the perfect presence of heart is watching time and being punctual for prayer before Allah Almighty, and the spiritual wayfarer enabling to devote all his time to Allah at least 5 times of his time daily should be specially reserved for praising and worshipping to meet Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini. Today we have a saying of Imam Khomeini in which he is saying that for anyone who does something wrong, there is always a room for repentance. God's munificence is endless. Basically, what Imam Khomeini is referring to is the door of repentance, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened for us. Generally, the scholars, they say that when a person does tawbah, which is repentance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does twice a repentance towards the man while he is doing a repentance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah, technically or literally, it means to turning back towards someone.
Now, why they say that Allah does twice tawbah and we do once, it's because that first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the courage or the tawfiq, that generally obviously we use the Arabic word, he gives us the tawfiq to do the tawbah. So this is the first time when Allah returns towards his slaves, his creation, and he give a specific person a tawfiq or courage or a chance to do repentance.
كم أهواك يا شهر الصيام أنا لن أنساك فأنت في قلبي دائما تمضي الأيام ودعائي كل عام ربي تقبلنا يا ربي بلغنا بلغنا رمضان
When this person does the repentance, he does tawbah or astaghfar in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah returns back again and he accepts his tawbah. So basically, we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once, but he turns back towards us twice. And this is from the sunnah, this is from the, we can say, blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even when we perform one deed, a good deed, he rewards us 10 times. It is the practice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he does that with us. He does that to us. So basically, for anyone who has done something wrong, we are in the month of Ramadan, this month in which we are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is the host. He is our host. And when he is the host, then you can imagine what kind of rewards he have for us. When he is the host, how he will give us the reception. And one of those things, that one of those receptions, the things that is for us, is the repentance. Therefore, we all need to do the real repentance or tawbah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to seek forgiveness from him so that we can have his closeness, inshallah. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One of the very important steps we need to take in getting close to Him, in worshiping Him, in obeying Him, is to get close to the Ahlul Bayt, to be with the Ahlul Bayt. Kunu ma'a as-sadiqeen. The sadiqeen, on the foremost and above all and before all, are the Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim ajma'in. Kunu ma'a as-sadiqeen, be with them. If we want to make that progress to Allah, if we want to get closer to Allah, there is simply not a way other than going to the Ahlul Bayt. If we don't go to the Ahlul Bayt, we cannot become of the Muqarrabin. I think we had a similar talk earlier, and we gave reasons for this. I'll just remind us, if the prophets of the past were told of the Ahlul Bayt, and in order for them to make progress, to purify themselves, to get closer to Allah, they needed to know of the Ahlul Bayt and shed tears for the Ahlul Bayt, do tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt. If they needed that, prophets needed that, we definitely need that. We definitely require getting close to knowing, loving, shedding tears, tears of happiness, tears of love, tears of sadness, depending on how we remember them. And all of those are beneficial. And all of them will increase the love that we have for the Ahlul Bayt. And the love for the Ahlul Bayt is what draws us closer. All of that, we've already discussed it. I don't want to reiterate that point and the need that we have. Laylatul Qadr, which is a night that the taqdirat come from Allah, the measurements come from Allah. And the more important measurements, the taqdirat, are the taqdirat related to our spiritual progress. The material gains and losses are always going to be there. We will not have a life without losses in this world. That's just not how it works. This world, this realm has been created. You will have gains, you will have losses. And that's not even important. What's important is the spiritual gain. And God forbid spiritual loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرَ. Mankind is at loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That loss is important to us. So what we're going to get, the taqdeer we're going to get next year, are we going to get closer to Allah, or God forbid, are we going to change course? Next year, in the fitan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed to happen in the following year, are we going to be of those that will be saved? الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَى. Or God forbid, are we going to be of those that will change course and move away from the Ahlul Bayt, away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for next year to be the year of the return of our imam and the uprising of our imam, will I be with those that will join the imam, amongst those that will join the imam? Will I be of those that are at best, God forbid, negligent, careless, worried about their material lives, their occupation, their family, their mortgage, their loans, their properties, their profit, their stocks? Which one are we going to be? This important taqdeer that will be sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are told to use and make benefit of this night, nights before it. As we've said, it's, I think, fairly clear that Laylatul Qadr is the night of the 23rd. Yet we are told to fast 23 days before that, or 22 days before then, and worship many nights before then, and then specifically the night of the 19th and the night of the 21st. Prepare and stay up and worship and plead. Prepare for that one night. Spiritual taqdeer that we're going to have next year is that important. We're told to do these a'mal, to try our best, to beg Allah so that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have a better year for us, a year with more barakah. Barakah in terms of spirituality. When our souls have barakah, when a person is made Mubarak. Whether they have material means or they don't, they are Mubarak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made their existence filled with barakah. The Holy Prophet, the times, the days, the months that he had no money, he was penniless. His existence was barakah, even materially for so many. And I'm not even talking about those higher levels of understanding of the Ahlul Bayt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make our existence. This is what we can gain. One of the important tools to do that is getting close to the Ahlul Bayt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assisted us with two things. One is He's encouraged us with the ad'iyah, with the du'as related to the Ahlul Bayt. We are told to repeat Allahumma kulli waliyika al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan throughout Laylatul Qadr. You keep repeating that du'a. You're making du'a for the Imam. When you make du'a for the Imam, your feelings for him grow. You think more of him. You want good for him. When you want good for him, for a person in general, you're going to start feeling better towards them. You feel you like them more. The other thing is the ziyarah of Sayyid al-Shuhada. We're told one of the amal of that night is ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn for those who get to go in person. That's one thing. We don't have the privilege to do that. I don't think too many people these days have that privilege this year. But wherever we are, we can make that connection. Again, getting close to the Ahlul Bayt. And besides that, the night of the 19th and the night of the 21st is the night that the Shahada of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the strike on his head occurred. This is not a coincidence. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen's barakah in this world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the night of his dharbah, the night that he was struck, one of the nights to go and prepare for Laylatul Qadr, and the night of his shahada, another night to go and prepare for Laylatul Qadr. That's not a coincidence. Allah does everything by design. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assisted us. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the nafs of the Prophet, all the tawassulat that you do to Amir al-Mu'mineen, you beat your chest. And this year, I hope we've got to do this. We've got to do latam one way or another. We've got to have reciters, and we have got to do it, even if it's just each family in their home, in front of the television or whatever, wherever they're watching this. We've got to do latam. We've got to remember the Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah to give us tears for Amir al-Mu'mineen. You cry for Amir al-Mu'mineen. You remember Amir al-Mu'mineen. You can't remember him and not remember Fatima to Zahra. You remember her. And that causes you to have more tears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assisted us.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how
moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
spiritual message of Islam.
His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. If we all open our eyes to see, He is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته. We've been studying different characteristics of the community of Ahlul Bayt, and we said based on the Quran and Hadith, a very important characteristic is to enjoin the good and prohibit the bad.
Rasulullah is the one who ask people to do good things, right things, and keep away from bad things. Those things which are pleasant, he says it is halal, it's permissible, you can eat, you can drink, you can do. Those things which are bad, you don't like, you don't do it. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهَا. Rasulullah is a man who has come to liberate humanity. Humanity in the time of Jahiliyyah was under pressure, under burden. Ignorance, superstitious ideas, shirk, the politics of Quraysh, which wanted to enslave people and benefit from them, to serve them, were making too much pressure on humanity. They were chained up. They were not able to move. They were not able to breathe. They were not able to understand. They were not even able to have education. The number of people who were able to read and write in that society was less than fingers of one person. The way they treated women, the way they treated children, slaves, visitors, all of them are well documented in the books. So, people were suffering. Rasulullah came as a person who wanted to liberate people. He didn't come to put pressure on people. You know, unfortunately, sometimes, either because we have not been introduced Islam in a proper way, or we are misinformed, we think that if you follow Islam, then you are very restricted. Islam is restricting you. Islam is against your freedom and liberty. This is not the case. Islam has come to free us, to liberate us. And Rasulullah is the pioneer in liberating humanity. Who is more free than Salman, than Abu Zar, than Ammar, than companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Imam Hussein said, I want to offer you freedom. Kunu ahraran fi dunya. Amir al-Mu'minin said, لا تكن عبد غيرك قد جعلك الله حرا. Do not be a slave of someone who is like you. Another person who is like you. Allah has created you free. Islam gives us freedom. What is freedom? Some people, make a mistake here. Once I read this on a magazine, I very much liked it. It was actually a Christian magazine, but it was very nice. It said, freedom is not to be able to do what you like. Freedom is to be able to do what you should do. What I should do for my benefit, for my family, for my society, what I should do, if I am able to do, that is freedom. If you don't let me to do what I am benefiting from, so I have no freedom. But if I say freedom is to do what I like, Okay, there are many mischief that I may like to do. This is not freedom.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers. Open your heart to something greater. His holy book speaks pure and true, and always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
So Rasulullah came to free people so that they do what they should do, what they can benefit from, what can give them happiness in dunya and akhirah. So yadaw anhum israhum wal aghlal allati kanat, all the chains and locks which were chaining up humanity, Rasulullah removed them. فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون. So those who believe in this man, man of virtue, man of makarim al-akhlaq, man of freedom, and help him and support him and follow what? Follow the book which has been sent with him, the Quran, which is light. وَاتَّبَعُ النُّورِ. This Quran is light. These are the people who are happy. These are the people who have had falah and salvation. May Allah inshallah include us among them. So ma'roof is something which is good, which is right, which is supposed to be done, and munkar is opposite. Of course, after you receive guidance from Islam, after you are introduced to Sharia, you can have much more elaborate account and understanding of ma'roof. You can have a detailed account of ma'roof and munkar from Sharia. That helps us to refine and get more accurate understanding of Sharia. So now I want to refer to the section on Amr al-Ma'roof wa Nahy an al-Munkar in the manual. All our maraja have this in their risala, but this is according to Ayatollah Sistani, hafazahullah. So he starts with an introduction, and he says Amr al-Ma'roof wa Nahy an al-Munkar are two of the greatest religious obligations. Then he refers to the ayah that we discussed, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Then he quotes a hadith from Rasulullah. You know, when a marja quotes a hadith, it's very important. It means that this hadith is 100% verified by marja. لَا تَزَالْ أُمَّتِي بِخَيْرِ مَا أَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ. Rasulullah says, my community, my nation will be always in right condition as long as they do Amr al-Ma'roof and they prohibit Munkar and help each other to do good. تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ. They help each other, they assist each other for doing good. فَإِذَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا ذَلِكَ, if they don't do this, نُزِعَتْ عَنْهُمُ الْبَرَكَاتِ, Allah will take away His blessing. Then you would see there would be poverty. There would be so many disasters. There would be tyrant governments. وَسَلَّتَ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ نَاصِرٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Then Allah will make bad people rule them. Then they would have no helper in on this earth nor in the sky.
I'm looking back throughout the years to breathe is hard and my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know?
Oh Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. Please give shifa to people who are ill in their body and in their soul. Oh Allah, please send your rahmah, your forgiveness to all who have passed away, especially brothers and sisters who were attending these majalis in this community and other communities. Our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraji, those who have passed away. Please let them be with Muhammad and all of Muhammad right now. And please give long life and blessed life to the parents and to the teachers and maraji who are alive. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
My ummah, he will say. Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of his way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once
Africa Today.
Recent clashes between tribes in Sudan's West Darfur region have left dozens of people dead, while thousands have fled to neighboring Chad. Now, the killings are taking place after a joint peace mission to the region by the UN and the African Union ended in January. Many internally displaced persons had expressed fear that the government will not protect them after the withdrawal of international peacekeepers.
And we, as the IDPs, we are victims of the wars because we all became orphans. Our government is the one who is fighting against us.
Hello and a warm welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today. We are focusing on the endless conflict in Sudan's Darfur region. We are asking, what is the root cause of this conflict, and are foreign powers involved in the suffering of the people in Darfur? In the second part of our program, we are going to talk about how West African nations are losing hundreds of millions of dollars to illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing.
Endless conflict in Sudan's Darfur. Sudan's West Darfur state has seen an upsurge in violence, with members of the Masalit and Arab communities clashing early April in the state capital, Al-Janaina. The Masalit are mainly farmers, while the Arab tribes are mainly herders, with the violence and divisions rooted in disputes over land, pasture, and water resources. To prevent the situation from spiraling out of control, Sudan's government has declared a state of emergency in the region. The vast Darfur region was ravaged by a civil war that erupted in 2003, leaving some 300,000 people dead and 2.5 million displaced. A Sudanese refugee speaks here on life at a camp for internally displaced people. The latest clashes come after the United Nations Security Council voted unanimously last December to end the joint African Union-UN peacekeeping force in Darfur.
Following the overthrow of President Omar al-Bashir in April 2019, Sudan has been experiencing turbulent and fragile transition, especially in Darfur. In August of 2019, civilian political groups and military commanders reached a power-sharing agreement, charting the path for Sudan's transition. A peace deal was signed in October 2020 with a number of rebel factions, but some key armed groups are still active in Darfur. Now, to analyze the ongoing conflict in Sudan's Darfur region, we contacted Edward Corrigan, an international lawyer and journalist based in Canada. Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Corrigan. Now, what is the reason behind the recent flare-up of conflict in Sudan's Darfur region?
In my opinion, it's complex. It actually goes back to the 1884 Berlin Conference, where the European colonial powers divided up Africa in a way that deliberately disrespected the sort of cultural, ethnic, and tribal boundaries. So you end up with all the states basically having a very, you know, weak state identity and tribal boundaries, which the tribe just ignores. The other problem is, since 2003, when the conflict erupted, it was exacerbated by conditions of drought, which greatly affected both the groups that have farmland and also the groups that are nomadic and have to move their herds and camels and stuff like that through the areas. There's also the suspicion that there's oil in Darfur, which means that some external actors are interested in destabilizing Sudan and perhaps getting access or control over these oil resources, which are hoped to be there.
Stay tuned for more.
The peace deal last year between some armed groups and Sudan's transitional government was touted as a historic moment, coming following the overthrow of long-serving ruler Omar al-Bashir. As part of the deal, Sudan's Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok appointed a veteran Darfur rebel group leader as finance minister in a cabinet overhaul amid a worsening economic crisis. Addressing the nation after the February cabinet reshuffle, Hamdok said the new cabinet came as a result of a political consensus.
This formation came after a political agreement that happened after long discussions, which took months. Its primary purpose was to save this country from collapse. As you can see, our region has many problems and challenges. Countries close and far from us have collapsed in the past years. We, as Sudanese people, will not repeat this example.
Some of the conflict-affected communities also complained that their voices have not been heard, and they expressed their reservations about the deal.
We've been in these camps since 2004. We want the conflict to end so we can go back to our harvests and to our ancestral home. But we've not been properly consulted on the deal that's taking place or represented, and so we're concerned it may not hold.
Now, Mr. Corrigan, the people in Darfur appear skeptical about the peace agreement signed last October. Now, what could be the factor behind this skepticism?
They're skeptical because there's no peace. So you still have ongoing violence, attacks by the various groups against each other. And you have militia going around attacking and raping people. And so you have a very, weak government in Darfur.